Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, the Master of the National Maternity Hospital, Professor Shane Higgins, is with me in studio today to answer all of your maternity and fertility and gynae questions. Shane, good afternoon. How are things?
Great, Andrea. Thank you.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. You were with us last week. You were just here, to explain the cervical smear, what's involved, and if listeners want to listen back to that and the procedure and why women have to get a regular cervical smear. The podcast is still available. It's on the News Talk and the Go Light app. You can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. We're still getting questions in from people, you know, about that today. So
yeah, it's a subject that's, you know, close to every woman's heart, and I think there's some misinformation, but there's not enough information. So it's not that it's deliberately misleading, but I think the point we were making last week, it's only one of a number of gynecological cancers. And that's all that the cervical smear screens for is cervical cancer and our precancerous changes long before it gets to cancer. And that's the whole purpose of this screening program.
Well, because we had so many questions, you know, in relation to the HPV test, we thought we would bring our listener questions or ask you about our listener questions today. As I said, it's 087 1400 106. This listener is wondering regarding the cervical smear. If you've previously had CIN or SIN4, but now test negative for HPV, should you pay for your test to be checked for SIN also? You might just explain what that is first of all.
Okay, so what the smear does is it looks for HPV and only certain of the HPV subtypes. And I think that relates to another question which might come up later. So if you're positive for the HPV subtypes that are most closely linked to cervical cancer, you'll be sent to colposcopy where they may take a biopsy of your cervix. And it's that biopsy that allows them to establish whether there's changes to the covering the surface of your cervix which are precancerous. And they're divided into SIN 1, 2 and 3. If the patient has been treated in a colposcopy unit to the point where the SIN has been removed in its entirety and then has negative smears, then they go back into the normal screening program with the normal regime of smear tests. So they don't need to have additional testing done, provided they have been signed off as clear by their colposcopy unit that they would have been attending.
Okay, and if it's a case that they go on to have the HPV, you know, HPV is found in their smear and they have these SIN cells again,
yes,
then
they'll be treated. So the treatment for these would be to remove part of the cervix, a wedge of the cervix. It's called a comb biopsy or a Letts, depending. And that will remove that abnormal part of the cervix with the abnormal cells, which are precancerous in nature. Then if you have subsequent negative smears, then you don't need to go back into the program. So you don't need to go back to colposcopy. You go back into the normal screening.
And for this listener now wondering, should she pay for her test to be checked for SIN as well?
No.
Just leave well enough
alone. Continue with her regular smears. You'll be linked with your colposcopy service. If there's any abnormality found, you'll be referred back.
Now, really interesting question from a listener who says that they have to go for a colposcopy, but they had the HPV vaccine while they were in secondary school. And they're wondering, does this mean the vaccine hasn't protected me? Four out of six of my friend group have all had the HPV vaccine, and we've all come back since with HPV. So you might clarify that.
Sure. So the HPV vaccine, so first of all, there's well over 100 subtypes of the HPV virus. Only some of them are linked to cervical cancer. Those, and 9 of those are covered in the HPV vaccine. The fact that the person is still HPV positive is probably linked to another subtype of the HPV virus. So the panel that we undertake when you have your cervical smear covers 20 of the subtypes. You're only vaccinated against approximately 9 of them. So there are still subtypes there that you might turn up positive to, but they're not as closely linked to cervical cancer as the ones that we vaccinate for. So you're protected against the ones that are most closely linked, and then the rest have a much lower association, so not nearly as concerning. So the fact that you're HPV positive means that you're probably not HPV positive to the most serious subtypes that we vaccinate against.
And that's what the vaccine protects against.
That's what the vaccine protects against, the most closely linked subtypes associated with cervical cancer.
So even though you've, and it's only the younger generation that are getting the HPV vaccine, isn't it? So even if you've had the HPV vaccine, it still means that there will be certain strands of HPV that you can get.
Correct.
And you might, you still have to go for your regular smear.
Absolutely.
And then,
absolutely. But I mean, you know, if you look at it longitudinally, if you have one of the lesser associated subtypes, then you're extremely unlikely ever to develop these changes, these precancerous changes, because you don't have the subtype that's closely linked because you've been vaccinated against that.
Now, Lister says, I'm going for lap surgery next week.
Yeah.
You'll have to explain that to me. To have my coil removed and to see what's causing pain during intercourse. This has been the case since the coil was changed 3 years ago. I'm concerned, though, that it could be something a little bit more serious.
Well, I wouldn't really be concerned about it being more serious. First of all, I'm trying to kind of read into the story. If she's having a laparoscopy, which is where a telescope is put through the belly button, then it may well be that the coil, the marina or the copper coil, whichever it is, has migrated or has gone through a perforation in the uterus and is now in the abdominal cavity. And that's why it's been removed by that route. If, however, the patient is going for a hysteroscopy because the threads aren't visible and the coil is now in the uterine cavity and needs to be removed, that's actually just removing a marina that's in the right place, but the threads are missing. But if she's going for a laparoscopy, it's probably because the marina seems to have migrated and has been identified in the abdominal cavity rather than the uterine cavity and needs to be removed.
But you don't normally need a surgery to remove a coil.
No, you don't. It's only,
this
if,
is
it's
only
migrated,
if it's moved. Would you know if it's moved?
Well, you're supposed to have your coil, whichever coil you have, you're supposed to have it checked on an annual basis to make sure it's in the right place. So sometimes it's just a quick scan of the tummy and you see it in the uterus and everything's fine. Sometimes you'll go to your GP and they'll check that the threads are visible at the cervical os. So that's another way of telling that the coil is in the right place. If you can't establish that the coil is in the right place by either, certainly by vaginal examination and speculum exam, then the patient needs to go for a scan or an x-ray to identify where the coil is so that it can, A, you can establish it's in the right place, or B, if it's not, you can arrange to have it removed.
So your GP will be able to tell you that?
Your GP is usually who puts it in and who usually checks it. So
Okay. 087 1400 106 WhatsApp number. Listeners looking for advice, must have to go for a smear test for a 68-year-old with a prolapsed bladder.
Yeah.
Any advice?
Well, first of all, if you're 68, you're outside the boundaries of the program, which is 25 to 65. So if you've had a negative smear with no HPV identified in your 60s, you get to the age of 65, you do not need to continue to be in the program. So you don't need a smear. The prolapse really, you know, it just makes it a little bit more difficult, uncomfortable, but it doesn't prevent you from having a smear test. But whether you need it or not is another matter.
A listener says, if you've had gin, not sin, in G-I-N, not C-I-N. Will the HPV smear catch a reoccurrence of this? What is it, first of all?
Okay, so sin is cervical intraepithelial neoplasia, and it refers to the kind of the surface. But if you go into the canal, you have what's called glandular intraepithelial neoplasia. So it's, again, a precancerous stage, but involving the glandular tissue rather than the stratified squamous, which is the hard or the resilient covering of the cervix. But yes, it's also caused by the HPV virus. So essentially, yes, if you have a history of gin rather than sin, then screening for the HPV will also help to pick that up.
It will help, okay. In relation to the cervical screening program, listener says, my tests always take longer than 40 seconds. I find they can be extremely painful. I've never got an explanation why, but I did get referred to the hospital for the screening. Any idea what this might be about?
So some patients find gynecological examinations and speculum examinations extremely difficult, extremely painful. And
It's not pleasant.
No, it's not. But some people just cope with it better than others. And I think for those who don't cope well, you know, going to see a practice nurse or a female gynecologist might help. But they might also perhaps, you know, look to see if there's something they can take beforehand to help them relax, because it can be very distressing for some patients.
But I suppose just when they're pointing out that it always takes longer than 40 seconds. I mean, I know we say that it's quick, but you know, it will take longer than 40
seconds. If everything goes according to plan, then a smear test can take less than a minute to undertake from start to finish. So if the patient is able to tolerate the speculum exam, the actual taking of the smear is a very short brush in the cervical canal. So it shouldn't take long. But it can be uncomfortable, and for some patients it can be very distressing.
Listener says, why can't women be tested for all HPV-related gynecological cancers when they go in for their regular smear test? I think it gives a false sense of security that you're being tested for all of the gynae cancers. I'm 36. I was diagnosed with anal cancer, but was told this could have been diagnosed through a similar style HPV test, which isn't available publicly in Ireland. I went for yearly smear tests when I was in my 20s, and I feel very let down. Now, why is this and other gynae cancers not tested for?
Well, I think this is a very, very good point. And yeah. I think this comes back to things that we maybe discussed last week. The cervical smear only screens for precancerous changes related to cervical cancer. Nothing apart from that. There are lots of other gynecological malignancies, vulval, vaginal, endometrial, ovarian, and none of those are screened through the cervical screening program. And there isn't really a formal established screening program for any of those cancers in Ireland. The anal cancer isn't a gynecological malignancy. It can be associated with some of the HPV subtypes, but there is no screening program for HPV-associated anal cancers anywhere in Ireland or the UK, as far as I'm aware. So the patient is unfortunate in that, again, not necessarily misinformed, but not fully informed that the cervical smear only screens for cervical cancer and HPV-associated cervical cancer.
But like, wouldn't it be so beneficial to have some kind of advertising campaign around all of this? Because I imagine that, like myself and so many of our other female listeners tuned in today, they're probably not even aware of that. Because sure, how would you be?
No, and I think information is power, and being informed about what exactly. I mean, I think, you know, you remember that we touched on last week the cervical screening issues, but I think there was patients weren't necessarily fully aware of the difference between a screening and a diagnostic test, and that leads to this. And I think patients need to be informed, and whether it's a public advertising campaign.
Well, in the way we have had, you know, advertising campaigns around breast check and how to actually check your breasts, mm-hmm. you know, and what to look out for. Wouldn't you would think would be quite helpful to have some sort of marketing campaign around actually there's more than one type of cancer that you can get, and here's what you should be looking out for.
Oh, absolutely. I think it is, and it's unfortunate in a way that isn't there, because often some of the more sinister malignancies are very late in presentation because patients aren't aware.
We don't know. That's something for you to do now, and you can roll out a marketing campaign in your spare time. Professor, what spare time? Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million though for coming in to answer listener questions. Email as always lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.